Praise the Lord. Okay, well, I guess we're ready to get into the Word now. I'm really excited about that. Before I begin here, I would like to pray one more time. Father in heaven, we come before thee again in prayer, asking that thou wouldest abide over this service. We ask that thou wouldest give us ears to hear, Lord, and help us to understand the message we are going to hear today. Give us good perception, good spiritual depth. Abide with us and show us thy ways ever more clear. Let thy word sink down deeply into our hearts, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, I'm going to put a title on this message today. I'm going to call this message, A Cause to Rejoice. We all need joy in our lives. And I believe that's what God wants for us. Yeah. Our first portion of scripture today is going to be Luke chapter 10. At the very outset, I'd like to say that I know for certain that God doesn't want his people to be sad. He doesn't want his people to be depressed. Your loving Heavenly Father wants you to experience happiness and true joy, bountiful, spiritual, bubbling over joy. So if you've got problems today, my advice would be to get down on your knees before God and tell him every little thing that's bothering you, every little thing that's irritating you, every little thing that's even annoying you. Just tell him, I don't want any of this. Ask him to take it away and scrub your soul clean. You cry out to God in faith with nothing wavering and cast all your cares upon him. He will take your burdens, and he will give you joy. Now, I know we live in a troubled world where things are going wrong all the time, and you read the news, and you find yourself thinking sometimes, what do I have to be happy about? This is terrible, and it just keeps getting worse. I know that because I have to read the news on an almost daily basis, and sometimes I see things happening and I almost can't believe it. But yes, the world is in a lot of trouble. But despite all that, we can have joy. And we have a cause to be joyful, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So, in Luke chapter 10, starting out, it says in verse 1, After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So here he is, he's sending out his followers, basically, to go and preach and to heal the sick and work all kinds of miracles. In verse 3 it says, Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. It would take a lot of faith to go out and do something like that. Basically, he's telling them to go out and don't take anything with you. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God is nigh. It's nigh unto all of us here today. Verse 10. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. There are great consequences for those who reject the Lord, as we'll see in verse 12. It's a very serious problem. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. We all know that Sodom was a very, very wicked city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. What Jesus is saying there is, even the wicked cities of Tyre and Sidon, if they'd seen those miracles, they would have repented. They would have turned to God. But some people are very stubborn and very lacking in faith. Verse 15. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So what it's saying there is, if people despise you, they despise Jesus, and if they despise Jesus, they despise the one who sent him. It's very serious. Verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Praise the Lord. That would be a cause to rejoice. And even today, the devils are still subject to the power of Jesus Christ. And if you have that power working in you, you have power over the devils. They can't hurt you. The only way they can hurt you is if you believe they can. Jesus says in verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Praise the Lord. That is a great cause to rejoice. Are your names written in heaven today? If so, you've got something to be happy about. And if you have any reason to wonder, if you have any reason to doubt, God can help you with that too. Turn with me now, please, to Psalm 32. In Psalm 32, the psalmist writes, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord." So that was a wonderful thing. That was a wonderful thing to do. If you have any transgressions you haven't repented of yet, now's a good day for it. It says, "I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah." "For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah." God will protect us through all the troubles we face in this world. If you're true to him, if you seek him with a whole heart, there's nothing that can hurt you. Verse 8. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." In other words, don't be stubborn like a dumb animal. Mules, I think they're obviously known to be very stubborn, but it's almost the same. You don't want to be like a mule or a horse. Verse 10. "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Praise the Lord. If your sins are forgiven, if you've repented of your sins, you have a great reason to be joyful today. You have a great reason to rejoice. A great reason to be glad in the Lord. I know sometimes we do things that we shouldn't do, but if you repent before God and ask his forgiveness, he's willing and he's eager to forgive you. God doesn't want to send anyone to hell. He takes no pleasure in it. He only does so because sin cannot exist in heaven. Only perfection can exist in heaven. But thank the Lord, he is willing to wash away all our sins. And it's not even a hard thing to do. If you ask, if you sincerely ask, he will do it. Praise the Lord. But it gets better. Not only will God forgive you for every sin you've ever committed in your life, he won't even remember them. It tells us in Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." What a wonderful thing. Doesn't even remember them. And if God doesn't remember your sins, you shouldn't dwell on your past. Don't let the devil dredge up your old sins. Don't let him make you miserable. God does not even remember those sins, so just let it go. And of course, God's forgiving nature should be in all of us as well. And if people have hurt you in the past, if they've done things and caused you trouble or grief, you should forgive them as well, even as God has forgiven us. And once you've forgiven someone of something, don't ever bring it up again. Don't even remember it, because that's what God does for you. And that's what we should do for each other. Praise the Lord. In Micah 7, says in verse 18, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." It says he delighteth in mercy. He loves to forgive our sins. It's what he wants to do. But he can only do that if you ask. If you repent. It says in verse 19, "He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. If you've repented of all your sins, those sins are gone now. God doesn't remember them. He won't bring them up again. And he has cast them into the sea. How great is the mercy and the compassion and the love of our God. Praise the Lord. So there is joy. If you're a Christian today, there is joy if you're a child of God. And if you have anything in your life, anything at all you think shouldn't be there, just get down on your knees and ask the Lord to take it away. And he take it away. And he will. And he won't remember. Praise the Lord. There is great joy in what God has for us. But there are other reasons to rejoice as well. It tells us in Matthew chapter 5. I'll give you all a moment to find it. Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount, and these are commonly known as the Beatitudes. It was the greatest sermon ever preached. It says in verse 1 of chapter 5, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise the Lord." Oh, I want to be filled. I want to be filled. Praise the Lord. Verse 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Praise the Lord. I think we all want to be called the children of God. So we should all be peacemakers. Verse 10 tells us, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Praise the Lord. You know, there are probably people out there who don't like you because of what you believe, because you're a Christian. But you can rejoice in that as well. For great is your reward in heaven. Oh yes, we have great reasons to rejoice this morning. Praise the Lord. And, you know, there are many Christians around the world today who are persecuted. We have it pretty easy here in the United States. We have not yet resisted under blood. But, you know, there are other portions of this world where people are persecuted every single day. In China, there are 20 million underground Christians, which is amazing. That's a great multitude of people, but they have to worship in secret, little house churches, and if the Chinese authorities find them out, they break up those churches, and sometimes they throw their leaders in prison. Yet, despite that persecution, the church over there just grows, gets stronger. That's a wonderful thing. You know, it's really something. China, obviously, as everyone knows, they're a communist nation, and their government is actually atheist. But if you want to go to church there, in a church that's above ground, the church that's not hidden, you have to go to a government-sanctioned church. A government-approved church. Can you imagine that? Going to a church where everything has to be approved by God-hating atheists? I have to wonder what those sermons are like. I have a feeling they're not very good. But, despite that, there is a very strong church in China. There are other nations as well where Christians are often killed, particularly by the Islamic religion, or those people, we should pray for them because obviously they're very messed up and they need help. But they go after Christians often, and sometimes they'll just kill them outright. It's a terrible thing, but the Bible tells us to rejoice and be exceeding glad if you're persecuted. For great is your reward in heaven. It's actually an honor and a privilege to be persecuted for the cause of Christ. And, you know, here in the United States, it has been getting worse. And I know there was a news story a few months ago about a city in Tennessee where the city hall, they told the workers, you can't pray anymore at work. If you want to pray, you're going to have to do it on your own time. So yes, there are situations like that propping up all over the country as well. But we have gotten by quite easily so far. Still, there is great joy and great blessings in being persecuted. I'd like to go to one more portion of Scripture if I can find it. I wasn't planning to do this, so if you just bear with me for a moment. Acts chapter 16. Go down to verse 16. The Apostle Paul is in Philippi, and they're doing a mighty work there. It says in verse 16, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, what she was saying there was true, but she was using the spirit of divination to perceive that, so that was not a good thing. It tells us in verse 18, "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." Praise the Lord. And if you remember in Luke 10, it tells us that we have authority over those devils, and Paul is exercising his authority over her evil spirit of soothsaying. It says in verse 19, "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. It's really something, you know, when evil spirits get riled up, they tend to get into crowds, and a lot of times they'll rip off their clothes. They get so angry. It tells us that the magistrates rent off their clothes. They're in verse 22. And it says in verse 23, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them." Wow. There they were under intense persecution. They were thrown in prison. They were beaten. Their backs were ripped open. And yet, they prayed and sang praises unto God. They were happy. They had joy. It says in verse 26, "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled." If you're a jailer and you discovered that the doors of your prison were open, that would be a cause for concern. I mean, there'd be almost no chance that the prisoners would still be in that jail. It says in verse 28, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." What a miracle. Nobody left. Verse 29, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway." Praise the Lord, they didn't waste any time. They wanted to be baptized right away. Verse 34, "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Praise the Lord. His whole house was saved. That's worth enduring a little persecution for. It's like another great reason to rejoice in the Lord. You know, that persecution they endured, Paul and Silas, that brought forth a church. And that's why we have the book of Philippians in our Bible. Praise the Lord. So we have many reasons to rejoice today. If you repented of your sins, they are forgiven. And as God promised, he doesn't even remember them. If there's anything in your life that shouldn't be there, just give it to God. And you know, next time the devil comes along, tries to tempt you into sinning, just remember how awful you're going to feel if you do it. It's not worth it. Praise the Lord. And if, of course, if you can sin and it doesn't bother you, that's even worse. If it bothers you, that means that God is still working on you and He hasn't left you. Praise the Lord. But yes, there are many reasons to rejoice this day. The Lord has blessed us so much. And I know He's blessed this church over the years. It feels a little strange to be up here, especially after so many years watching my dad do this. I really thought that he would be with us longer than he was. He was only 60 when he died. But he's not really dead, not by God's standards. He's up in heaven right now rejoicing. And I pray we'll all experience that same joy someday. I can't wait to get there. I'm greatly looking forward to that. Praise the Lord. But no matter what happens to you, I know a lot of us have been going through a lot of trouble and sad things happen all the time. But you can rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice that He has forgiven you. Rejoice that He doesn't remember your sins. And you can even rejoice if you're persecuted. For there is great reward in that. Praise the Lord. I want to pray in closing. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer, thanking Thee for Thy holy word, thanking Thee for the joy that Thou hast given us, and for the cause to rejoice. Lord, we pray that these words will go with us today, and that we will remember them always, and always remember to be joyful and to rejoice in Thee. Abide with us, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd like to sing one more chorus. Number 66 in the chorus book. Oh, I just opened right up to it. Jesus, I'll never forget. Praise the Lord. Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how You set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how You brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how You brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Praise the Lord. Dismissed under prayer.